Hello, Pastor Steve Waldron with Biblical Archaeology Today. I'm so grateful you're here with us, and I'm very thankful to be your host. We're going to be looking at three very famous battles, and this has to do with Daniel chapter 8, and it's Alexander the Great versus Persia. Of course, Alexander would be the kingdom of brass in Nebuchadnezzar's vision. And he would be the, is it the goat there in Daniel chapter 8? Whereas Persia would be the bear, and it would be the empire of silver that Nebuchadnezzar saw. So let's get started. We're on Wikipedia. Thanks for being with us. Do check out our other podcast. We show the Bible's absolutely true in all its particulars. The Battle of Granicus River, again, we're just on Wiki. The Battle of Granicus River in May of 334 BC was fought in northwestern Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, near the site of Troy. In the Bible, that's Troas. After crossing the Hellespont, Alexander advanced up the road to the capital of the satrapy of Phrygia, which that's pretty interesting, Phrygia. A lot in Christian history. Montanists were from Phrygia. The various satraps of the Persian Empire gathered their forces at the town of Zelia and offered battle on the banks of the Granicus River. Alexander ultimately fought many of his battles on a riverbank, which that's interesting. By doing so, he was able to minimize the advantage the Persians had in numbers. In addition, the deadly Persian chariots were useless on a cramped, muddy riverbank. I'm thinking about Scottish versus British battles in the 12 and 1300s. They use some of those same tactics. They've got a great bust, marble bust of Alexander dating to the 2nd or 1st century BC, possibly from Alexandria, Egypt. And maybe it is kind of what he looked like, young and dashing and full of hair. Arrian, Diodorus, and Plutarch all mention the battle, with Arrian providing the most detail. You know, they would say the Persian armies would go and they'd drink a river dry, which, who knows, I've never seen millions of people, which that's all debatable whether there's really millions there or not. The Persians placed their cavalry in front of their infantry and drew up the right east bank of the river. The Macedonian line was arrayed with the heavy phalanxes in the middle. Macedonian cavalry led by Alexander on the right, and allied Thessalian cavalry led by Parmenion on the left. I think the Thessalians helped the Spartans there at Thermopylae. Pretty good battlers there. The Persians expected the main assault to come from Alexander's position and moved units from their center to that flank. Alexander's second command, Parmenion, suggested crossing the river upstream and attacking at dawn the next day. But Alexander attacked immediately. He ordered a small group of cavalry and light infantry to attack from the Macedonian right to draw the Persians off the bank into the river. Seeing that he had broken the Persian line, Alexander led his horse companions in oblique order further to the right in order to outflank the Persians and buy time for his infantry to cross the river. Now, if you study military history in battles, you'll find outflanking your opponent is just this big deal. A lot of people talk about that in chess as well. Several high-ranking Persian nobles were killed by Alexander himself or his bodyguards, although Alexander was stunned by an axe blow from a Persian nobleman named, let me get this name right, Spithrates. Before the noble could deal a death blow, however, he was killed by Cletus the Black. He was from the deep south. I'm just joking. Cletus, we have a lot of caricatures of people named Cletus that would not be black, actually, for the most part. The Macedonian cavalry opened a hole in the Persian line as the Macedonian infantry advanced, forcing the enemy back and eventually breaking their center. The Persian cavalry turned and fled the battlefield, and the Greek mercenary infantry they held in reserve were encircled by the Macedonians and slaughtered. Only around 2,000 of which survived and were sent back to Macedonia for labor. So that's pretty amazing, that battle right there. And then the Battle of Issus, I-S-S-U-S, took place in southern Anatolia, November of 333 BC. After Alexander's forces defeated the Persians at the Battle of Granicus, Darius took personal charge of his army, gathered a large army from the depths of the empire, and maneuvered to cut the Greek line of supply, requiring Alexander to countermarch his forces, setting the stage for the battle near the mouth of the Panaris River. We've seen he fought a lot of battles on rivers, and south of the village of Issus. That's I-S-S-U-S. Darius was apparently unaware that by deciding to stage a battle on a riverbank, he was minimizing the numerical advantage his army had over Alexander's. He evidently was not a huge military man. And there's several Dariuses in Persian history going all the way back to the 500s. But Daniel, Haggai, Esther, Ezra, Nehemiah, others had huge Persian influence and these type things. Initially, of course, Esther and Mordecai actually very high up in the monarchy and government. Initially, Alexander chose what was apparently unfavorable ground. This surprised Darius, who mistakenly elected to hold the wrong position, while Alexander instructed his infantry to take up a defensive posture. Alexander personally led the more elite Greek companion cavalry against the Persian left against the hills and cut up the enemy on the less encumbering terrain. You'll notice how often Alexander was in the battle, thereby generating a quick rout. After achieving a breakthrough, Alexander demonstrated he could do the difficult thing and held the cavalry in check after it broke the Persian right. Alexander then mounted his beloved horse Bucephalus, took his place at the head of his companion cavalry, and led a direct assault against Darius. And you're beginning to see how Alexander was really the Napoleon of his day, and maybe far more than that. The horses that were pulling Darius' chariot were injured and began tossing at the yoke. Darius, about to fall off his chariot, instead jumped off. He threw his royal diadem away, mounted a horse, and fled the scene. The Persian troops, realizing they had lost, either surrendered or fled with their hapless king. The Macedonian cavalry pursued the fleeing Persians for as long as there was light. As with most ancient battles, significant carnage occurred after the battle, as pursuing Macedonians slaughtered their crowded, disorganized foe. The invading troops led by Alexander were outnumbered more than 2-1. So that was a huge deal. And now we come to the Battle of Gaugamela. And overlooking, this is not all Alexander's battles. This is just specifically against the Persians. Because this was really his major, for centuries they'd been battling the Persians, the Greeks had. And then, you know, this was really the biggest thing in his way to the Indus River. The Battle of Gaugamela took place in 331 BC, what's now Iraqi Kurdistan, possibly near Dahuk. I wonder if they find like arrowheads, like we find arrowheads all over South Georgia. We even find like Civil War bullets and stuff like that, and resulted in a decisive victory for the Macedonians. After the siege of Gaza, Alexander advanced from Syria towards the heart of the Persian Empire, crossing both the Euphrates and the Tigris rivers without any opposition. Darius was building up a massive army, drawing men from the far reaches of his empire, planning to use sheer numbers to crush Alexander. Though Alexander had conquered part of the Persian Empire, it was still vast in area and in manpower reserves, and Darius could recruit more men than Alexander could dream of. Also present in the Persian army, a sign that the Persians were still very powerful, were the feared war elephants. And you would see this with Hannibal about a century or so after this in Carthage. I think that's the time period. While Darius had a significant advantage in number of soldiers, most of his troops were not as organized as Alexander's. The battle began with the Persians already present at the battlefield. Darius had recruited the finest cavalry from his eastern satrapies. Darius placed himself in the center with his best infantry, as was the tradition among Persian kings. The Macedonians were divided into two, with the right side of the army falling under direct command of Alexander and the left to Parmenion. Alexander began by ordering his infantry to march in phalanx formation towards the center of the enemy line. Darius now launched his chariots, which were intercepted by the Agrinians and quickly rendered useless. Not sure who the Agrinians are. Let's see if we can find out real quick. Present-day Western Bulgaria. So that's pretty interesting. Alexander, while leading the charge, formed his units into a giant wedge, which quickly smashed right into the weakened Persian center. Darius' charioteer was killed by a spear, and chaos rang out as everyone incorrectly thought it was Darius who'd been killed. The Persian line then collapsed, and Darius fled. Darius escaped with a small corps of his forces remaining intact, although the Bactrian cavalry and Bessus soon caught up with him. The remaining Persian resistance was quickly put down. In all, the Battle of Gaugamela was a disastrous defeat for the Persians and possibly one of Alexander's finest victories. And so then you come to Persis, and we won't even go into that. But anyhow, Battle of Persian Gate. But basically, by this time, Persia is destroyed. And, you know, you'll notice in the very first battle, he gets hit with a battle axe, Alexander does, and almost dies. One more stroke, he would have probably died. And he didn't. Reminds me of David fighting one of the giants many years after Goliath. But, boy, history is full of unique turns like that. I think they tried to murder Hitler, Lenin, and Stalin over the years and just didn't work out. Castro. God bless you. Thanks for being here. Join us daily. Jesus is God. He is absolutely true. Talk with you later. Bye-bye.